Hello, this is Pastor Cal Hampton. I want to thank you for taking time out of your busy schedule to listen to our Second Mile podcast. It is my prayer that the Spirit of God might just enliven your spirit so that you might get a word from heaven today. And as always, you have an invite to come and worship with us down here at Second Mile Church on 804 Riverside Drive in Clarksville. May the Lord bless you. Thank you.
Let us pray. Father, we come before you this morning. We thank you for this day that you've given us, dear Lord. Father, we start off a new year, Lord. We had a lot of new things in our mind and our heart that we want to try to accomplish, Father. And dear Lord, all those things are not possible without you. So, Father, as we yield to you, we pray that you will take us, you will mold us, and you will make us, Father, into what you want us to be. And, Father, we pray that we will be submissive to you and your Holy Spirit, Father, as you lead us each and every day. That we will seek to be closer to you, Father, that we will be different than we were in 2021. Father, we thank you for the many, many blessings that we have seen the past year, even with everything that has gone on, dear Lord Jesus. We see that so many miracles have happened, so many prayers have been answered, Father. Lord Jesus, we just want to give you all the praise, the honor, and the glory for what you have done, Father, not us. And dear Lord, we pray today that you will give our pastor, Brother Cal, Father, pray that you will give him a special message for us, Father, as we start into the new year. Lord, that we as individuals and we as Second Mile Church, Father, will focus upon you. And Father, that we will follow your leadership. Dear Lord Jesus, we love you so much and we thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Happy New Year. It is a new year, can you believe it's 2022? Have mercy. I sent Billy a text last night or yesterday sometime, and I'm about to jump out of my skin. I'm so excited about what God's doing and what he's going to do in 2022. I know God's at work, and he wants to do something that only he can do, that only he can get credit for. And I don't know if we're ready for that, but I'm praying as God prepares our hearts and as he stimulates us and strengthens us and speaks to us, that as we move into 2022 together, and by the way, what we do together. There's no such thing as this Lone Ranger Christian mess that some folks are engaged in. We do this together. And I'm believing for miraculous, supernatural things to take place in 2022. Now, let me ask you a question. This is going to be quite a bit different sermon today. Just really trying to set the table for what God wants to do here this year. And I don't know if you know this or not, but we need for God to move. Amen. We need a great move of God on this nation, on this state, on this county, on this community. We need for God to do something only he can do. Our nation is so, our nation is gripped with fear. Do you understand that? We are so divided in a lot of different ways. And we're filled with despondency and discouragement. So many folks are depressed. Not to mention illness and sickness, and COVID is rearing its ugly head again. And so we need for God to do something powerful, something great. And I don't know what you're expecting and looking for in 2022, but what would it be like for you if God were to take you by the hand and lift you up higher than you've ever been before? What would it be like for God to deliver you from any fear or anxiety or discouragement that you're under, What would it be like for you to be closer to God than you've ever been? Well, we've got three over here that want that. I think some of the rest of y'all do, but you've been Baptist too long. What would it be like for God to do, to just usher in His power on your life? Well, can I just give you some sound, biblical, hardcore truth? The avenue that God uses to bring those things into our lives comes through prayer and fasting. Prayer and fasting. Now, y'all know a little something about prayer, right? I mean, we've been involved in the discipline of prayer. I think we know very little about fasting. We kind of got our feet wet back in 2019 with some of this stuff in January, 2 years ago, or however long that's been. Well, we didn't do much in 2020 or 2021 with prayer and fasting, but we are going to this month. And let me say this. In June through October of 2016, God began to speak to my wife and I about coming home. And He gave us scripture after scripture. You know, I've never heard an audible voice from heaven. God knows I'm so emotional I couldn't handle that. But He speaks loud through His Word. And He gave me dozens of scriptures about coming home to experience a move of God that only He could get credit for. Well, it's 2022 and I'm ready for one. And I want to be a part of something that only God can do. Now, what you may not know is that in the history, the revival history of our nation, there have been two great spiritual awakenings, and there was a prayer awakening that happened in 1857 and 1858. The first great awakening that spread across this country happened started up in Northampton. And then the second great awakening, the next great move of God upon this nation, happened June the 2nd of 1800. About 55 minutes from here, up in a little place 10 miles south of Russellville and 3 miles north of Adairville, in a little place called the Red River Meeting House. I took John Franklin and Pastor Derek Simonis up there 3 weeks ago to this Red River Meeting House, where over 5,000 people showed up on June the 2nd. Preachers, pastors, laypersons, 5,000 on horseback and covered wagons. Can you get that? And then the second great awakening happened on those hallowed grounds. And revival spread to the colonies and then down through Tennessee and out to the frontier, guaranteeing that our country would remain a Christian nation. We need for another move of God like that. And so John and Derek and I went up to this Red River Meeting House, this old log house, and prayed on that hallowed ground up there. We read scripture, we talked to the Lord, we talked to one another for about 6 or 7 hours. And what the Lord spoke to John about some things in his life, and it was like God just prompted my spirit and said something like this: Cal, you're wanting revival in our churches so that there can be a spiritual awakening in our communities. And that's not going to happen until the Spirit-filled leaders get revived. And so we have called on, well, here's what we're going to do. We're going to charter a bus. And we're going to take 48 pastors, preachers, deacons, elders, bishops, whatever we call that, we're going to lay our minor doctrines to the side and we're going to focus in on Jesus and a spiritual revival for the leaders in our churches. Glenn tells me we're going to have to charter 2 buses and others are going to have to take their cars up there. Well, hallelujah. This was confirmed to me through my brother over here, Billy Walker. And I wanted y'all to hear this story and then we're going to have a quick message. I promise. Billy, come, let me get which one of these? The yellow one? Well, third time's a charm. Yeah. I wanted you all to hear this because it just confirms everything that I've been talking about. Go ahead.
Well, first of all, I'll confess to you, I mean, I heard of I've heard of the first Great Awakening. I didn't know there were two. Maybe there's more than that. And I had sure never heard, I'm just being honest with you, I had never heard of the Red River Meeting House. Last Sunday when Brother Cal mentioned it, first I ever heard it. Sunday night, I'm sitting on my front porch. Some of y'all been to my house. That's Carol and I's favorite room, is our front porch. I'm sitting out there, and a car comes driving slowly by, which is not that unusual because this time of year people are out looking at Christmas lights. And I watch this car with California plates, goes down, and it turns around, and it comes easing back up, stops kind of across from my house. This woman gets out, walks to the yard directly across the street, and she starts taking pictures of my house. And I can tell real quick, she doesn't realize I'm sitting on the front porch. I'm down enough, the rail kind of blocked me. And so I just kind of was like, hello? And she said, oh, I'm so sorry. She said, we're just out looking at decorations. My husband had worked in this neighborhood, and he was telling me about your house, and we thought it was so pretty. I was just taking pictures. I said, well, that's Carol. My wife, Carol's not out there. We usually meet at the porch about 5 o'clock. She ain't got out there yet. And I said, well, that's very kind of you. We like sitting out here, blah, blah, blah. And as she and I are talking, Carol comes walking out. And she says, this lady says, well, we're from California. We moved here not too long ago. And she said, I just love this area. And Carol says, well, welcome to Tennessee. And she said, I noticed you're in my front yard. I got one of those Jimmy Terry Christmas is all about Jesus signs. She said, I noticed your sign. She said, I'm a believer too. And she said, I love this area. She said, do you know that the Second Great Awakening has direct ties to Clarksville, Tennessee? I said, no. And she said, yes. I think she called a man's name. I think it was McCready or something like that. And she said, he is from Clarksville. And she said, he was involved. She said, there's a place about an hour from here called the Red River Meeting House. I said, what'd you say? She said, the Red River Meeting House. She said, that's where the Second Great Awakening got caught fire. And she said, I believe this area right here, I believe God's fixing to do something huge again. And Carol and I were both kind of looking at each other, and I said, ma'am, can I just tell you, I said, I never heard of the Red River Meeting House till today. I said, my pastor was talking about it during his sermon. And I didn't know anything about the Second Great Awakening, that it started this close to Clarksville, Tennessee. And she said, well, it did. And she said, I think it's fixing to happen again. Now, I don't know this woman. I've never laid out. She could have stopped in front of any house in the United States of America. But she stopped in front of our house. And I just, and then we talked. They go to a church here in town, the Vineyard, I believe is where she said they went. But it just, I couldn't wait to tell Cal. I texted him. And finally, I got a hold of him the next day. But, this woman, you know, I believe Brother Cal's right, said is right. That's confirmation to me. Something's going on. And I want to be, you know, and I just pray that Second Mile Church is right dead smack in the middle of it. And but anyway, that's my story. Did I leave anything out? Okay.
Let's give God praise for that. Hallelujah. Love you, Billy. So, some would say that's coincidence. Some would say, well, that's happenstance. No, that's the providence of God. And it'd be just like God to use a small, brand spanking new little church like Second Mile to send the Second Great Awakening our country so desperately needs, and our community needs. And as I mentioned before, the avenue The gateway to all of this comes through prayer and fasting. So quickly, how many of you have your sermon notes today? Let's see them. Everybody, let's see them. Hold them up. Okay. There's still some more back here in the back if y'all didn't get one, but you need these today. And so we're going to answer three questions. Number one, we're going to answer the question, what is prayer and fasting? Well, I think you all know what prayer is. Prayer is what? Talking to God. All right? Seeking His face. And so I think most of us operate in the discipline of prayer, but we don't know much about fasting. I'll confess to you, I don't know a whole lot about fasting. But it's all throughout the Scriptures. And you heard Brother Tony Evans, his missionary testimony about what's going on in India, the fasting that takes place there. And so what is fasting? Well, if you have your Bible with you, quickly, let's look at one verse. Just one verse over in 1 Corinthians 7, and then we'll go to Matthew 6. 1 Corinthians 7 and verse 5 says, do not deprive one another except with consent for a time. Now, this is in the context of the marital relationship between a husband and wife, okay? That's what he's talking about. And by the way, the highest level of relationship on this planet is between a husband and wife. Okay? But in the midst of that, he brings up this issue of fasting and prayer. Look at it. Do not deprive one another except with consent for a time that you may give yourselves to what? Fasting and prayer. And then come together again so that Satan doesn't tempt you beyond because of your lack of self-control. Somebody say amen. And so we're going to give ourselves in January to prayer and fasting as a church family. And now run quickly with me over to Matthew chapter 6. What is prayer and fasting? What is it? Matthew chapter 6, in Jesus, his great Sermon on the Mount, covers this issue and a lot of others as well. You know, Jesus just assumed that as the body of Christ, we would just do some things. And in Matthew chapter 6, he says, you know, when you give like this. And he talks about laying up treasure in heaven, because wherever your treasure is, that's where your heart is. And then he says in verse 33, but seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all these things will be added unto you. And so he says, when you give, do it like this. And then he talks about prayer in Matthew chapter. He says, when you pray, do it like our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. And then he rolls through that. Well, fasting. Matthew 6, watch this. Verse 16, moreover, what are those next three words? Amen. When you fast. In other words, he's assuming we're going to operate in that atmosphere of prayer and fasting. He says, don't be like the hypocrites with a sad countenance, for they disfigure their faces, that they may appear to men to be fasting. And surely I say to you, they have their reward. But you, when you fast, anoint your head and wash your face, so that you do not appear to men to be fasting, but to your Father who's in the secret place, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you openly. So we're not going to go around in January telling all these other folks, I'm praying and fasting. Would you pray for me? No. Uh-uh. That's something between you and the Lord. And so that's what I'm asking all of you all to do in here. You pray and ask God, what is it? Well, I need to give y'all a definition of what fasting is. Biblical fasting, let me say it again. Biblical fasting is abstaining from food for a period of time with a spiritual goal in mind. And it carries with it the mindset of wanting, so much wanting the power of God on your life that your desire for food is given up. Y'all with me? Biblical fasting takes place when you abstain from food for a period of time with a spiritual goal in mind. Well, what's a spiritual goal? Well, y'all should have gotten one of these. Terrence sent out 150 emails. It's on our website. Ellen's got it on our website. And I think, Terrence, didn't you print up some copies for those of you that don't do, you know, computers and iPhones and all that? Where are they, Terrence? On the table back here. This is our daily prayer and fasting guide. I've done some work here, put some stuff down. And then there's some spiritual goals that are listed on this thing. This would be a good thing to fast for. Ask God to help you discover what's keeping us from His very best. Amen. That'd be a good thing to fast for in January. Ask God to help you discover what's keeping Second Mile from His very best. To know God more intimately. Amen. Wouldn't that be a good spiritual goal? To know God better than you've ever known Him before in January? For God to send revival to you, your family, our community? Wouldn't that be a good spiritual goal? Deliverance from addictions. Hallelujah. Wouldn't it be great to see God deliver us from fear and anxiety and despondency? And Satan's two great weapons are fear and doubt. For God's wisdom, that's a great spiritual. You need wisdom. We all need wisdom. Salvation for family and friends. And for God to unleash His power and presence in your life. When somebody gets close to you as you pray and fast in January, you're not telling everybody about it, but they see what's going on in your life. And they want to get up next to you, so they hope they'll get some of what you got. So, any spiritual goal that gives God glory and brings Him glory and honor and praise, that'd be a good spiritual goal for you to pray and fast for. We don't fast and pray to get God to jump through hoops for us. In other words, we don't pray and fast to get God to do something for me. We pray and fast to get His best. Amen. All right? Y'all with me so far? Hallelujah. Are y'all with me so far? Everybody good so far? All right, we'll make sure we're communicating. Now, and so that's what fasting is. It's abstaining from food. Well, Brother Cal, can I abstain from social media? Well, you can if you like that better than you like eating. Eating is the strongest, most natural desire, and you have it about three times a day. And when you sacrifice and give that up in order to focus on Him, God likes that. He smiles when we're doing that. Y'all with me so far? By the way, that's an addiction to social media and video. That's an addiction. And God delivers people from that and other addictions as we pray and fast. Y'all with me so far? Okay. All right, that's what fasting is. Now, you need to get your hands on this daily prayer guide. I've got all kinds of things that you can pray for, scripture verses. So we need to set aside a time every day. The Jews used to do morning, noon, and night. And I would encourage you to get your Bible, set a time aside to just pray and seek the face of God as you fast. When you have a craving to eat, get your Bible, pray. Ask God to strengthen you. So what are the benefits of prayer and fasting? Turn with me quickly to Isaiah 58. What's in it for me? If you're asking that, that's okay. Because there's some really cool stuff that's available if you will pray and fast in January. Aren't y'all blessed? I've never heard a whole lot of teaching on fasting. Just until the last 4 or 5 years that I've learned much about it. And I'm just a rookie in all this. What are the benefits? Look at verse 6. Is this not the fast that I have chosen, to loose the bonds of wickedness, to undo the heavy burdens, to let the oppressed go free, and that you break every yoke? Benefit number one, freedom from oppression. Anything that's oppressing you, anything that's got you in bondage, any chain that's got you shackled up. God is able and willing to set us free when we pray and fast from fear and anxiety, doubt, whatever it is. Are y'all with me? Are y'all under any kind of burden? Prayer and fasting helps with that. And then secondly, desire to give. Look at verse 7. Is it not to share your bread with the hungry and that you bring to your house the poor who are cast out? When you see the naked, that you cover him and not hide yourself from your own flesh? The second benefit is we become givers. You know, some of us have bought into this American cultural lie that says the more stuff you get, the better off you are. Listen, if God's putting more stuff on your plate, it's so that you can share it with others. And because we bought into that mess, the widow goes hungry. The single parent has her lights cut off. The orphans have no home. The divorcee gets lonelier and lonelier and lonelier. And somehow through this prayer and fasting that pleases God, we become givers. We become like Jesus. He's our example in giving. Here's the third one. Healing for the body, soul, and mind. How many of you could stand a little emotional healing today? How many of you could stand a little physical healing today? And spiritual healing. Look at verse, man, thank you, thank you. Look at verse 8. Then your light shall break forth like the morning. Your healing shall spring forth speedily. And your righteousness shall go before you. I didn't come up with this. This is what God says. Healing for your mind and your body and your soul and your spirit. Glory to God. And then you'll get God's protection and provision. Look at 8b. The glory of the Lord shall be your rear guard. God will have your backside. His presence and protection. Isn't this good stuff? Look, watch this. Look at verse 9. Then you shall call, and the Lord will answer. You shall cry, and He will say, here I am. It's like that's the picture of a baby crying for his father. And we cry out to God during this season of prayer and fasting in January. And God says, here I am. See, I've been marinating in this stuff all week. Y'all are going to get it too eventually. And then here's another benefit. Not only do we get God's protection and provision, the glory of God resonates with us. Verse 10, if you extend your soul to the hungry, satisfy the afflicted. So then your light shines. Your light shall dawn in the darkness. And your darkness shall be as the noonday. The glory of God will be all over you. I mean, you'll shine. The Shekinah glory of God will be on you. And can I be sweet enough to just tell you, that's what we need in here. I'm just sitting here looking around. We need for the glory of God to shine in us, on us, and through us. And then there's 22 benefits in this chapter. I'm just listing a few of them. How many of you would like to have an answer to something you've been praying about? Look at verse 11. The Lord will continually guide you. Satisfy your soul in drought. Strengthen your bones. You shall be like a watered garden. And like a spring of water whose waters do not fail. Glory to God. You'll receive that. Now, it may not be the answer you're looking for, but it'll be God's best to your prayer request. Oh, that's a good line. It'll be God's best for your request. I just now came up with that. How about that? So those are some of the benefits that we're going to get in January. Well, what particular kinds of fasts are there? Well, they are also in your daily prayer guide. Get one of these. They're back here. Go to the website. Check your email. Well, where do you get them daily prayer guides at, Pastor? Just listen. We've got them everywhere. And they're for you. Look, let's take a look at the different ways that you can fast and pray in January. Now you can begin with, I know a lot of us are on medication. A lot of us are on, you know, we've got some health conditions, that kind of thing. You need to be careful with this. I understand that. You may want to begin with a one meal a day fast for January. Just give breakfast or lunch or supper Just give that up. And during that time, pray and fast. One meal a day. Now, you can do, maybe you just want to give up caffeine. How many of you love coffee? Ooh, now I'm meddling, aren't I? Caffeine, sweets, desserts, meats. You could fast from those things. Now, ladies, listen to me. We don't fast to lose weight. Okay? That's not what this is about. All right? Now, you will lose some weight. One meal a day fast would be proper. Some of these other things like caffeine and sweets and desserts and meats, those kind of things. But here are some. Luke 18:12, I don't have time to go there. Talks about a 1 or a 2 day fast a week during January. One day, give up breakfast, lunch. And a good biblical fast on a 1 day or 2 day fast during the week is from sundown to sundown. Sundown to sundown. Does that make sense? This crowd over here, does that make sense? Okay, just nod your head every now and then or wink at me or just let me know that we're getting through. So, 1 day a week, maybe 2 days a week, whatever God leads you to do. This isn't about me telling y'all what to do. This is about you allowing God to speak to your heart as to what kind of fast you want to operate in. And then there's a 3 day fast. Y'all remember Queen Esther? She asked her Jewish family to fast 3 days with her so that God might deliver his people. That was a spiritual goal. You can read about that in Esther 4:16. Nehemiah, probably about a 7 day, a week long fast when he heard the news about his hometown of Jerusalem being in shambles and the temple being in shambles and the gates had been burned. He began to fast and weep and pray. And then 21-day Daniel fast. That's in Daniel chapter 10, verses 2 and 3. And you can get all this. It's written down for you. But basically, Daniel ate nothing but vegetables, fruits, nuts, that kind of thing, and water, possibly some juice. You know, sometimes back in those days, the water wasn't clean. For 21 days. And it's not. After this fast, we heard some of the greatest prophetic messages from Daniel in the Word of God. 21-day Daniel fast. Vegetables, fruits, nuts, water. Now, my wife saw this last one. She's sometimes my Holy Spirit. You know, she'll speak stuff to me that normally just, you know. And she said, "Who's going to do a 40-day fast?" And I barked right back at her. I said, "Well, Jesus did." I've got some preacher buddies and a few other buddies. I know about a dozen people that have tried this 40-day fast. If you've never done any fasting, God's probably not going to ask you to do a 40-day fast. But it's there for the taking if you want to do it. I think we had one person maybe do that 3 years ago. But all I can tell you is get along with God. Ask Him what He wants you to do during January. And I'm going to get with Brother Andrew. And we at the end of the month, last Sunday of the month, we are going to have a powerful praise and prayer service up in here on Sunday morning like you've never been a part of. And you're going to hear testimonies. We're going to sing for the glory of God. We're going to read some scriptures. And we're just going to celebrate what God did. And so here's what I just want to ask you as your pastor. If I'm not your pastor, can I be your friend today? Just want to ask you to go home and pray. Get you one of these spiritual prayer guides, prayer and fasting guides. And then I've got something else I want you to take home. And I'll need help passing these out here in a minute. But this is a prayer and fasting commitment sheet. And you just check the fast that God leads you to do. Now, I left out the one meal a day fast. So you'll have to add it. And then at the bottom here, write down your spiritual goal. And don't put your name on here. I don't want to know. All I want to be able to do with these commitment sheets is to pray, track what God's doing, and lift up those spiritual goals and those fasts that you all are implementing. Does that make sense? And so take these home. Maybe you've already done that. My Wednesday night crowd, I shared that with them. Just fold it, just one fold. Don't crumple it up like you do those dollar bills. Just fold it once, put it in one of these buckets or leave it back there on the table. Don't want your name on here, okay? But just pray, ask God and put it in there today or next Sunday or this coming Wednesday, either one. Questions, comments about that? Landon, help me pass some of these out over here. Thank you, sir. And Daniel, thank you. This brother jumped right up. Charles, just pass those out. Now, while they're doing that, again, this is between you and the Lord. We don't need to run around telling. Now, I've talked to some pastors. We're not the only church praying and fasting in January. There's some others. But let me ask you again, what would it be like for you for God to take you by the hand and lift you up higher spiritually than you've ever been before? What would it be like for you to be so intimate with God that it's like you're sitting in His lap? What would it be like for God to revive you or your family? What would it be like for you to see God save somebody in your family? What would that look like? Well, it comes through prayer and fast. God's going to do His part, that's for sure. He's wanting to do this. But we've got to prepare. And God's got to stretch us, and He's got to strengthen us, and He's got to get us ready to do what He wants to do. And that's going to happen in January as we fast and pray. Clear as mud? Clear as mud. All right. We want to do this thing as much as possible for the month of January. Now, for those of you that do the 21-day fast, you may want to add on a one-day-a-week thing after that. But for the month of January, that's a good question. One day a week, 2 days a week, yes. That was her question. Every week in the month. And then also, I didn't say this. Keep a journal. Or maybe not a journal. A piece of paper and write down what you feel like God's saying to you through the month. I know you guys aren't going to journal. I understand that. But just write down. You'll need this because you're going to share that at the end of the month, okay? Good question. Anybody else? All right, what we're going to do now is a little bit different response time. But what we're going to do right now is just pray. And I know this, Miss Sabina Cunningham she's battling cancer. She's going to have surgery on the 7th. Andrew's dad is still in the hospital having to go through dialysis now after triple bypass surgery and AFib stuff. And there are others. I was talking to Keith about his mom-in-law this morning, and she's going downhill. There's a lot of physical, emotional needs amongst us. And there's a lot of other spiritual needs amongst us. And so what I'd like to do right now is just kind of a hymn of response and invitation. It's just to open up the altar here. And if you can't kneel down, that's all right. You can sit down in one of these front chairs. They're always open. Nobody wants to get under the spout where the glory comes out. So they're always open. You can come and sit down here and pray. You can come to the altar and pray. I don't know what you, but it's 2022, y'all. And God's about to do something great. And if you want to be a part of it, I want to just ask you to respond in prayer and ask God to help you to know what to do with all this that you've heard. Okay? Father, during this time of invitation, this hymn of response, we just want to lift up the needs in our church family. And Lord, the storm victims are once again in a mess. COVID's rearing its ugly head again. Hospital healthcare workers are under it. CDE and CEMC workers, they're tired, wore plumb out. I don't know what we're waiting on, God. It is time to pray. We need you. We desperately need you. And the Word tells us this morning, if we'll cry out to you, you'll say, "Here I am." Oh God, may your people be filled with your Spirit. And help us to seek your face this morning. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
This is Pastor Cal again. I hope you enjoyed the message. If you'd like to talk to me or another pastor about some issue that you may have, a question you might have, you're free to call 931-332-6288.